Good morning. If you'd like to keep your Bibles open at that passage on page 1032, and let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. Please help us to hear your voice this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I've always liked Peter the disciple because of that sense of his humanity. He's warm and impulsive. He often acts and then thinks later. He says things and he puts his foot in it. He's passionate. He loves Jesus. They're great friends. He was born as Simon, but named Peter by Jesus because it means rock. He sometimes had faith that could rise to the heights, but sometimes Peter the rock could sink like a stone. Faith and failure, devastation and restoration all travel together in his life. And I like that. It gives me hope. And over the summer Sundays, now across the 10 a.m. and the 6, we're going to think about some of the major events in Peter's life and what we can learn from this character so loved by Jesus. Each sermon should stand alone really well, but if you're able to hear a number of them, and you can, of course, always catch up online, you should get a good sweep of Peter's life. We know a few facts about Peter. He was born Simon and is referred to as Simon in our passage today. He's the brother of Andrew and was introduced to Jesus through Andrew. Both were fishermen in Galilee in partnership in business with James and John. And Peter was in a core group of 12 disciples and was one of the three closest to Jesus. He was married. He had a house big enough for himself, his wife, his mother-in-law, and his brother. And for those of you who have found yourself down in the alien south here in Berkshire, take heart, because Peter had a strong North Country accent. He had a distinct Galilean accent. In our passage today, we see how it all began. Jesus is standing by Lake Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Tiberias. They're all the same place. And there's a crowd gathering round him. Jesus is speaking the word of God at the water's edge. The fishermen have finished for the day. They're washing, stretching, preparing their nets for the next day. And he asks Peter, here still, as I said, known as Simon, if he can use the boat to get some distance from the crowd pressing in on him. Jesus took advantage of the natural acoustics along the shoreline close to Capernaum, where a sequence of steep inlets form a natural amphitheatre, which means that just a little way out from land, you could be heard really clearly from a boat. It's quite easy to imagine yourself in that scene, the warmth of the sun on your face, perhaps a breeze coming off the water, blue sky, birds above, the smell of the boats and the fishing kit, and Jesus teaching. But what we don't have is any detail of what that teaching was. Wouldn't it have been amazing to know? But maybe it is that there is a deeper lesson in what Jesus is about to do, almost like a parable speaking to us in his actions. Simon Peter has been walking with Jesus for several months now. He knows him quite well. He's seen the beginning of his ministry. He's heard Jesus preaching and teaching and watched him drive out evil spirits and heal. He's hosted Jesus in his home and seen his mother-in-law healed. But as Jesus finishes speaking in verse 4 of our reading today and asks Peter to go out into deep water again and let down the nets for a catch, things come to a head for Peter. And so as we look at this passage, we're going to consider what we see of Simon Peter, and there are three things. The first is we see his reluctant reaction. Verse 5 reads, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Peter is reluctant to do what Jesus asks. They've worked hard all night, out in the deep water, but caught nothing. As an experienced fisherman, Peter knows that there is little chance now of a catch. They've fished that spot already. The best fishing is done by night in deep water. During the day, they would fish in the shallows, certainly not go back to the deep. So the last thing that they would do, having washed their nets ready for the next night, would be to go out and start again in daylight. We know that Peter is the only disciple who challenges Jesus, who says no to him. And he's quite close this time. It's almost a no. But he also knows Jesus enough to know that if Jesus asks, it's worth letting down the nets. He's respectful. He calls Jesus master. But he's reluctant in his reaction to Jesus' request. He obeys, but he does so reluctantly. You say it, Jesus, I'll do it. But what's the use? We know fishing. You're a carpenter. I wonder if this is you and me, people who let God into one part of our life but keep him out of others. In this reading, Simon Peter's boat began as a makeshift pulpit, the place from which Jesus could teach the people. Peter was very happy for Jesus to use it and to say what he wanted while he was teaching the crowd from it. But once it becomes a fishing boat again, it is not for Jesus to say how it is to be used. Fishing is Peter's job and his area of expertise, an area of his life he knows well. How dare Jesus meddle in that area? He doesn't know what he's talking about. Perhaps we listen to Jesus when we want something from him. When we're happy for him to be involved in an area of our lives that we have allowed him into. But what if he strays from that area and starts to interfere with how we live other areas of our lives? What job we do? How we spend our money? He makes demands on those areas of our lives that we think are all sorted and where we feel in control. That's what was happening for Peter. The world of Jesus was invading his everyday life, and it's the same for us. The world of Jesus does not stay respectably in a Sunday service where we think it belongs, but has something to say about every aspect of our lives. Perhaps today your reaction to the call of Jesus on your life is as it was for Peter. You're reluctant to let him be involved in what you have sorted, in the areas of your life where you feel you know what you're doing. You're respectful because that's why you're here today. But you would rather he didn't meddle in the areas of your life that you don't want to share with him, and you keep the doors shut. I identify with Peter's reluctance because I know that I have been and still am reluctant in many ways. I was reluctant most of the time to respond to God's calling that's brought me here. I'm reluctant to give my money to him. I'm reluctant to trust him when things go wrong. When I look at my long to-do list, I'm reluctant to take time to pray first and would rather just plow on. I'm reluctant to allow him into new areas of my life and chip off the rough edges I know are there. May we feel our reluctance and respond as Peter did. But because you have asked, Lord, I will do it. And so Peter and probably Andrew with him let down their nets again, and the rest is history. Jesus did, in fact, know something about Peter's job after all. There are fish everywhere. They need help. And nets start to break and boats start to sink under the weight. And then secondly, we see Peter. We see in him a real repentance. Verse 8, when Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Peter's reaction is appropriate for someone to whom God has appeared, who is aware that he's in God's presence. He's seen a miracle and realizes something of who Jesus is through it. He is Lord of the sea and all that is in it. Here is God. Peter falls at Jesus' knees in the middle of all those fish and asks Jesus to get away from him, like one of those frightened fish thrashing in the nets who cannot escape. Peter wants to get away from Jesus, or for Jesus to leave him be. He is in the presence of someone who has demonstrated heavenly power, and he's overcome by a deep sense of unworthiness and awareness of his own sinfulness. He sees himself as he truly is and declares it to Jesus. He is not worthy to be in his presence. He is a sinful man. But what Jesus also sees is Peter's fear. Don't be afraid, he says to him in verse 10. What we often see in Peter's experiences of Jesus is that the first thing Jesus says is, "Don't be afraid." We'll see that at the sixth tonight as well, when Jesus comes walking on the water. The reading records that they were all astonished at the catch of fish, but Peter was afraid. He wasn't frightened by the number of fish, of course, but what the miracle showed him of Jesus and of himself. He is undone in the presence of God, aware of his sinful state, and that he deserves only separation from God and his goodness. What he has experienced instead is awesome generosity. His nets are overflowing with the actions of an extravagant and generous God. And so Jesus' words are crucial. Don't be afraid. Sin will be dealt with. It will not stand between Peter and God. These overflowing nets are the sign. Peter's repentance and awareness of his need of saving, the first person to confess his sins to Jesus, these are in fact signs that he is precisely the person Jesus is looking for. How amazing that Jesus convinces a fisherman by using fish, in the same way as wise men who studied the stars were convinced by a star. He knows us. He knows how best to speak to us and does so in ways that we can understand that mean something for us. I wonder how you feel as you come before God this morning. Have you ever experienced his presence and in contrast felt the weight of all that you do wrong? For me, the longer I go on, the more I realize how far short I fall. But Jesus says to each one of us, do not be afraid. Sin has been dealt with through the cross. We stand out of his love and generosity that fills and flows and cannot be contained. And that is what we must rely on. Come, even if reluctantly, because Jesus asks you to come as you are and lay all at his feet. So we see in Peter a reluctant reaction and real repentance. And finally, we see in him a reckless response. Verse 10 to 11 says, Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed him. The key thing about this miracle is not the catch of fish, but that it paved the way for Jesus to call Peter, for him to begin his training as a disciple of Jesus. Peter, who is so familiar with fishing, will now catch people rather than fish. He will no longer be a fisherman, but a fisher of men, taking humans alive and saving them from danger. Having trusted Jesus for that catch of fish, will he trust him in this new venture? In the usual way, in Jesus' time, it was the disciples who chose the rabbi they would follow. Here Jesus does the opposite, and he chooses them. And in calling them, he does not ask his followers to do something he has not done himself, On this day, Jesus went fishing for men. He casts his net and catches at least four of them in Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Peter already knew Jesus before this day. He had seen him in action. But on this day, Jesus has taken Peter's way of life, has spoken to him through it, and called him to a new way of life. And Peter's response is to recklessly follow, to heave his boat up on shore, to leave that catch of fish, the nets, the family business, to leave everything and to follow Jesus. He has no idea where this new life will take him. And perhaps if he could have seen what the next couple of years would hold, he might have repeated his plea that Jesus leave him be. Peter's understanding only got deeper as time went on, but on that day, he had grasped something of who Jesus is, just knew that he was worth following and that life would not be the same again. He responded recklessly in faith and began to follow Jesus. At this point, all the pieces of Peter's life came together to make a meaningful whole. He'd been fishing for fish with varying success all his life. Now Jesus tells him it is men and women he will be fishing for. And it makes such sense that he walks away from his old life and embraces the new and unknown. It may seem reckless, but it was what he had to do. If we're honest, it's pretty scary to make a decision to follow Jesus, a decision we're praying today Hosanna will make for herself. It's pretty scary whether it's for the first time or responding to a new call that we believe he is making on our lives. To leave the old behind when we're not sure what the new may entail can feel too reckless, too much. Our natural response is to say, go away. It's more than I can deal with. We have seen how Peter moved from reluctance to repentance to a recklessness in following Jesus. And I wonder where you are today. Jesus starts with us where we are. In the midst of our familiar lives, he loves us and generously gives to us. He uses all that we have and are and calls us to be ready to leave everything and follow him. That can seem frightening. But then we notice that standing beside us is Jesus, who whispers, don't be afraid. Let go of the nets. Don't be afraid. After all, it is me. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the example of your servant Peter. How he loved you, how he failed you. We thank you for what we've seen of his reluctance, his repentance, and his recklessness. And we pray that you would help us to follow you wherever you may lead. In your name we pray. Amen.